Nice to be with you tonight in the ministry of the Word of God. I'm glad to hear that Brother Don Tinder is going to be with you. He owes me a lot. I introduced him to his wife. His wife and her sister spent many a night in our home. And we had Youth Congress at Greenwood Hills. And Edith, we had gone to the roller skating rink, a whole camp. We rented the roller skating rink, and we were skating together. And I said, "Have you ever met this guy, Don Tinder, who's here?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, he has a mind just like yours." I said, "You got to get to know him." And just then he came by, and I whistled. I said, "Don, come over here." And I introduced him to Edith. Well, they were never separated since. So, tonight we want to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 17. We want to continue what we started last time I was with you. I promised I'd harass you again with the same subject that we all need so badly. It's on the subject of patience. In Genesis chapter 15, God promises in the great Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 15. It's really the watershed of the Old Testament. Everything from that point on goes back to Genesis 15, where God promises Abraham a land, an heir, and a seed. And the seed of Abraham is none other than the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that Abrahamic covenant, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, it was confirmed to Isaac, and it was again confirmed to Jacob. And it was mentioned in Genesis chapter 28, where we left off this morning in our studies. Oh, what a blessed portion. But then you come to Genesis chapter 16, and Abraham is, like I am, impatient. And he has to learn patience. And in his impatience, he listened to his wife instead of the Lord. And he made Ishmael. Ishmael was the result of his impatience. Tonight we want to look very quickly at what we went over last week, or the last month when I was with you, on biblical faith. We found that there are four verses in the book of Romans that we need to ask ourselves the question to realize, is this genuine biblical faith? We'll get to that in a moment. Tonight, we want to look at the results of impatience and the fruit of patience. And therefore, we're going to begin tonight with Genesis chapter 17. Then we're going to move to the book of Romans. We're going to move to the book of James. And then we'll come back to Genesis chapter 17. Verse 1 of Genesis 17. Where God says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect." We'll come back to that in a little while. Now let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we read in your word, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We thank you that part of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, to whom you have given to every believer. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Oh God, our Father, we thank you that you are seeking patience in our lives. You want us to trust you, to believe you, and to simply wait upon the Lord. We thank you that we have the promise that they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. O God, our Father, accomplish this in our lives for the honor and glory of thy dear Son. And we'll thank you in his worthy name. Amen. For about a minute, I would like to deal with what we went over last time. There are four elements to saving faith and to living faith. True faith that waits upon the Lord. The first verse that we looked at last week was Romans 4, verse 20. Is it for the glory of God? Abraham, being strong in faith, not giving reference to his own body, but he worked in accordance with the glory of God. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. We should always ask before we do something, is it for the glory of God? Second is in Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Can I wait upon God? He that believeth shall not make haste, the prophet Isaiah said. And that is interpreted by the Holy Spirit in Romans 10, verse 11, where the Spirit of God says, he that believeth shall not be ashamed. When I run ahead of God, I'm always ashamed. When I wait upon God, I don't make a mistake. Is it for the glory of God? Can it wait? Number 3, Romans 10:17. Is it in accordance with the word of God? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Do I have scripture for what I'm doing? That's so important. Is it according to the word of God? And fourth, Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, do I have joy and peace in the midst of what I'm doing? So we asked the questions. What Abraham did, was it for the glory of God? Sorry to say no, it wasn't. Could he wait? No, they couldn't wait on the fulfillment of God. Did he have authority by the word of God? No, he didn't. And fourth, did it bring joy and peace into his home? No, it brought anything but that. So now we go to the fact of patience. The reverse of patience is the high cost of impatience. So let's turn to the book of James, chapter 1. There are four important ministries that patience gives you. Now, you can't get these any other way. You see, you don't get these ministries any other way. Patience brings them to you. Now, it's easy to preach this. It's another thing to live it. And to enjoy it day by day in your life. One of the hardest things that I've faced in the last 2 years, having a few infirmities of the flesh, was the fact that I had never been sick much in my life. And not to be able to do a lot of the things that I want to do and need to do, and having to cut back, is not the easiest thing on the flesh. A woman, I had a few difficulties in the last 2 weeks. A woman said to me last Sunday, she said, "You don't need that." I said, "I certainly do. I must. Or the Lord wouldn't have given it to me. Or the Lord wouldn't have given it to me." You see, God is seeking to develop us. Satan is seeking to devastate us. But the Lord is using these things to develop us. And it's so important to submit to the development of our blessed Lord in our lives as he seeks to build us up as the children of God. James 1 verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Patience builds character. James says, count it all joy when you fall into many temptations. The same word that's translated temptation or trial is translated test. The Lord tests us to develop us. Satan tries us or tempts us to devastate us. The Lord says, count it all joy. In other words, people who lack patience lack completeness. Impatience is not a good thing. They may have many gifts, but they never put everything together. They never get it all together. Their life is trying to, like, it is like trying to load mercury with a pitchfork. It can never happen. You see, when people learn patience, it builds character. When the Lord said to Abram in Genesis 17 that we read tonight, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect." When we think of perfection, we think of sinless perfection. That's not what God is speaking about. He says, "Walk before me and be mature as a child of God." James says, count it all joy when you fall into many temptations. Often we pray, "Lord, change this or change that or take away the trial." But it doesn't always happen that way. You see, the trials of life are obstacles of unbelief in me. They're obstacles to the unbelief in me. But they're opportunities to faith. Unbelief says, "No, it's a problem." Faith says, "Here's an opportunity. Now, God, give me wisdom to know what to do with this opportunity." Did you ever notice and study the lives of the great conquerors of Scripture? Joseph, Daniel, Joshua, David, Jeremiah, Paul. What did these men have? They had the wisdom to use their problems as opportunities to build character. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into many temptations, many trials." They work patience. Patience produces character. But then second, patience will crown you. Look at verse 12 of chapter 1. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." It'll crown you. You see, there are believers who reign now. Romans 5:17 says, they who have received an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one man, Jesus Christ. We reign now in life. Oh, we're going to reign with the Lord then. But what a privilege to reign now. I like what Dr. Barnhouse said on that verse. He changed the words of a hymn. And he did it in a way that's so blessed. You know, we sing, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Barnhouse changed the words. And he said, he wrote it like this, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith I can enter it now. With my will freed from death, I can sing, ex-king death, leave the throne, leave it now. Beloved, we reign in life. That's what James 1 verse 12 is about. Blessed is a man that endureth. You see, a man who cannot control his own spirit is like a city without walls that's all broken down. The game of tennis is quite an interesting game. I had a partner in tennis. He was a young fella. He was a lot better than I was. And he worked hard for me. But he didn't have patience. And I used to say to him, I'd quote that verse in Proverbs, you see, he that ruleth his own spirit is greater than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that ruleth his own spirit is greater than he that taketh a city. Patience not only builds character, it crowns you. It enables you to control your life. Now, you cannot control most circumstances, so we don't argue about them. We don't fret about them. We don't sweat. But there is something I can control with the help of the Lord. It is that kingdom inside of me. That kingdom inside of me. The things around don't matter. But that kingdom on the inside does. There's a third thing about patience in the book of James. Turn over to chapter 5. Patience produces a harvest. Notice verses 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, till he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. What's he telling us? Remember the farmer. You plant a seed, but you don't get a harvest the next day. And we need to keep this before us. Do you remember what our Lord said about the harvest? He said the harvest is the end of the age. It isn't the end of the meeting. It's the end of the age. I'm so afraid that many that are harvested at the end of the meeting were tares and not wheat. You see, be patient. Patience produces a harvest. The tendency is to want quick consequences, instant results. There's no such thing as instant results. You see, here in America, we get things quickly, don't we? You want some money? You go to a teller machine. I never used one. I don't know how they work. I'm afraid I'd mess the thing up. You see, clumsy Phil, he knows how to mess things up. But we have instant coffee. We have instant credit. We have instant this. We have instant that. But you don't get an instant harvest. You see, we like our Christian life this way. We want to be spiritual giants overnight. And it doesn't work that way. It's a long process. God says, no, it takes time till the harvest. Sow seed and expect the harvest to come. Patience produces a harvest. But then in verse 11 of James chapter 5, patience produces happiness. The happiest people in the world are those who you know that have learned to control their inner persons. Paul could say that as he wrote to the Philippians, I have learned. Ooh, he had to go to school. I have learned that in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Christian contentment, it doesn't come overnight. It is something that he's learned. Now we all know the verse. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Don't we? That's the end of the verse. What's the beginning of it? Everybody together. Let your manner of life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a blessed promise from the Lord. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Are we self-contained? Or are we God-contained? I am carrying with me constantly all the resources that I need for contentment. For God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The Lord Jesus said, my Father and I will come and make our abode with you. If you lack happiness, and it depends upon anything other than God in your life, then you're not very happy. If your happiness depends on circumstances, on things, on money, on people, you're going to be unhappy. Oh, that we might learn to live in the inner person. The scripture says, though the outward man perish, or is perishing, put it into present tense. And I've become more aware of that in the last 2 years. But oh, I want the last half of the verse. Yet the inner man is being renewed day by day, for we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now here in the book of James are four ministries of patience. Therefore, if I'm impatient, I can lose my character. I can lose my crown. I can lose the harvest. And I can lose my Christian happiness. Now, how do we get this kind of patience? How can I get it? Well, the same place Abraham got it. Let's go back to Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17. Well, how can I get this kind of patience? Well, first of all, you don't manufacture it. You can't manufacture it. Every time I say to myself, now you get more patience, you get more patience, and I get more impatient. I'm my worst boss. And you know, I'm better off if I don't obey myself. It's interesting when you come to Genesis chapter 17. Abram makes the big mistake in chapter 15, chapter 16. It's a mistake of impatience. But in Genesis 17, in the verse 1 that we read, in fact, there are four name changes in the book of Genesis 17. There's a new name for God. Verse 1. This is the first time you have the expression, the Almighty God, in the Word of God. What is the one thing I need to learn? That God is Almighty. What did he say to the disciples? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. How much power does God have? He has all power. It's all his. As a brother prayed tonight, he mentioned this to the Lord in his worship at the previous meeting. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's a great statement. It's a great statement. Everything that a man has came out of the earth. He himself came out of the earth. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. If you have a diamond, where did it come from? The earth. Say you have a gold nugget, where did that come from? The earth. The bricks in your home, where did they come from? The earth. The wood, where did it come from? The earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There is a new name for God. Perfect. Walk before me and be perfect. In other words, James says, let patience have its perfect work. You be perfect and mature. That is, Abram, have integrity. You know what integrity is. You see, when I went to school and we took math, we learned that there were two types of numbers. Fractions and integers. Fractions are part of a number. Integers are whole numbers. In other words, integrity is wholeness. God says, walk before me in maturity, in integrity, in wholeness. Now this is the name that I need. God Almighty. I'm not almighty, and I've never met anybody else who is, but God is. I cannot change my character, but I can cooperate with God. I can yield to God and see my character change by his mighty working in me. And he says through the Apostle Paul, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now, the question could be asked, did Abram make mistakes? Yes. Another question. Did he pay for his mistake? Yes. He paid dearly. Was Abraham handicapped because of his mistakes? No. Some people conceive the will of God like a machine. If one part fails, everything stops. You see, the will of God is more like your body. When one part of the body doesn't function, the other parts join in to help make it whole again. They come in to compensate for the part that isn't working. Have you ever done what Abram did? Run before God. Make a wrong decision. You see, that's when Satan comes and he says, you're through. You might as well give up. No hope for you. You made a mistake. It's like the woman who said to old Brother Smith years ago, there's a Sunday school teacher who smoked. And she said, I think that he ought to quit teaching Sunday school. He smokes. Brother Smith said, I think he ought to give up the smokes. Isn't it amazing? The thing that we need the most is the thing that we stop first. Is there anything I need more than to know that God is almighty? And he's the one I really need in this situation? I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be ye perfect. How often I've done what Abram did. I run ahead of God. I impulsively do things that are foolish. And the devil comes, you're finished. You're finished. You're like the machine that doesn't work. Put it on the scrap heap. But God came to Abram and he said, Abram, you're not finished. See, I can accomplish my purposes in you, even though you make mistakes. And who of us hasn't made them? Even though you make mistakes, I can accomplish my purpose. Now, we don't sin that grace may abound. Don't get that wrong. Romans 6 is very clear. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We don't sin that grace may abound. But Abram learned that God didn't put him on the shelf. He was very gracious to him. If I'm yielded to God Almighty, it is God who worketh in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. Abraham fell on his face. We read in the next verse. This he had done before. He had done that in chapter 15. But he would not be put to shame, as he was in chapter 16. God says, walk before me. I'm the Almighty God. A new name for God. Do we coin names for God? It's amazing how the 144th Psalm begins. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. In other words, we should be coining new names for God, born out of new experiences with God. But we gotta move on. Notice verse 5 of chapter 17. There's a new name for Sarah. No, verse 5, there's a new name for Abram. Notice what it says. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of many nations. God says, I'm going to exalt you, Abraham. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. You see, patience produces a harvest, we read in James 5. Here in Genesis 18, God says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. You're going to be fruitful. You're not going to be fruitless. You're going to be fruitful. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to exalt you. I want you to produce a multitude as the stars of heaven in number. It's a beautiful thing to be fruitful and multiply. We as Christians, the Christian church doesn't duplicate themselves. They reproduce themselves. We don't grow by addition. We grow by multiplication. And if you notice the next verses in Genesis 17, God says, I will, I will, I will. Abraham, you try and you try, but you're not going to get it that way. I will. I'm the Almighty God. You can't do it. He changed his name to Abraham. What a blessing. But third, there's a new name for Sarah. Isn't it amazing? God never recognized Hagar as Abram's wife. He never recognized her. You see, patience makes a king or a queen out of you. That's what we learned in James 1, verse 12. Patience will crown you. And Sarah is to be a princess. Isn't it wonderful when God changes names? Sarah, Sarai, which was her name, means contentions. Or one who couldn't control herself. Now she becomes Sarah, the princess. When you read verse 18 of Genesis 17, we read one of the most tragic prayers of the Bible. God is at work in changing names, promising Abram a multitude. He changed his name to Abraham, and he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Did you notice that? And God says, I've heard your prayer. And he's going to. And we still have the problem of Ishmael today. The Arabs are descended from Ishmael. But then, there's a fourth name change. Really, in verse 19, the name of Isaac is introduced. Notice verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son. Indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. It's looking forward to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac means laughter, because patience produces joy and peace. Romans 15:13, in believing, it produces joy. Now there are four ministries of patience that we looked at in the book of Jude. Now these four ministries are wrapped up in the four name changes of Genesis 17. Notice, patience produces character. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be mature. Let your integrity be known. It produces character. But second, patience produces fruitfulness. Abram, I'm changing your name to Abraham. You're becoming the father of a multitude. Produces a harvest. Third, patience makes a king or a queen out of you. It crowns you. Blessed is he who endures. For when he hath endured, he shall receive the crown of life. We read in James chapter 1, verse 12. And fourth, patience produces happiness and joy. Isaac means laughter. Isn't it amazing? But permit me to remind you that there's one name that isn't changed in Genesis 17. It's the name Ishmael. Is the flesh never changes. You cannot improve the flesh. The flesh never changes. The flesh will never be anything but flesh. God is not going to change your flesh in this life. Too often we pray like Abraham did. Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Often we pray, God bless Ishmael. Bless my flesh. And he isn't going to do it. God says, I'm not concerned with Ishmael. I'm concerned with the Isaac in you. My concern is with Isaac. And that's what I'm going to bless. You see, in the Sunday school lesson this morning, Paul picked up this theme in Galatians chapter 4 in Hagar and Ishmael. Hagar and Ishmael and Sarah and Isaac. The law and bondage it produced. But in Sarah and Isaac, we have grace and liberty. In other words, God says, stop pampering the old man. Stop catering to the old man. Stop feeding the old man. Feed the Isaac that's in you. And he will bring happiness. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. May we be like those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. It's ours to receive. May God enable us to receive it. For his own dear name's sake and glory. Let's pray. Now we pray to our God and Father that you will take this word and bless it to every heart. For the Lord Jesus' sake.